chapter 5. We find a story in the Scripture that illustrates what's on my heart to share tonight. That we got to quit looking at the Great Commission as mission impossible, but rather mission possible, and begin to re-examine the possibilities in association with world evangelization. In the life of Christ, in Luke chapter 5, in verse 17, we find it came to pass on a certain day, as Jesus was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee, and Judea, and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. In Luke chapter 5, in verse 18, it continues and says, "And behold, men brought in a bed which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins be forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he saith unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy couch, and go into thy house. And immediately he rose up before them, and took up that whereupon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And we close in verse 26, And they were all amazed, and glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. Would you bow your head and pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you that you specialize in opening closed doors. We pray, Lord, that you'd open our minds to behold our God and see your strength and see your unwillingness that any should perish, but that your desire that all should come to repentance. Lord, may we be encouraged to keep on serving you and being faithful till you come. Lord, I pray that you would bless and help me to speak in the remaining time that we have left. We ask, Lord, you just do a work in each of our hearts tonight that we might trust you more, that we might love you more, and that Christ might be exalted in all that's said and done in the remainder of this service. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So in this mission possible, I do not think that this church needs schooled on the what is the mission, and nor on the topic of world evangelization. I do believe that that is the heartbeat of this church, to see the gospel go around the world and your community reached with the gospel, that it might go from your Jerusalem unto the uttermost part of the earth. As the song around the throne in Revelation chapter 5 in verse 9, it goes like this. And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou art slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. This is world evangelization and the fruition of it. Around the throne in heaven, there are those of every kindred, every family and tribe, every language, every cultural background, and every ethnic group. These are those redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. It's exciting to become excited about that which God is excited about. This topic, this theme, and this very heartbeat of God of world evangelization. We know Philip the Evangelist, this was much of his occupation. Paul, he exhorted Timothy to do the work of an evangelist. But in this work, the miracle of communication must happen. We must preach and teach to the whole world and to every creature. And I know that you know that as a church. But the question that we are asked is, why should we be involved in the mission? Because the mission is that mission which God concerns Himself with. This mission reveals God's message of humanity's only hope. This mission reveals God's motive. This mission reveals God's mercy. This is why we should be involved in this mission. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And as it says in John 3:16, so it's re-emphasized in 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us. Therefore, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But you know, in this cause of world evangelization, we always are confronted with restrictions on the mission. We find obstacles, we find difficulties, and in our own personal witness, and in our own corporate effort to endeavor to get the gospel to every nation, that every tribe and tongue and kindred, every family might know the blessed hope, the Lord Jesus Christ, and know the blessedness of having sins forgiven and having a right relationship with God. In that effort to propagate the gospel, that the hope of Christ might spread around the world, of course, we are faced with obstacles. In this chapter of Luke chapter 5, we find four men that are unnamed. They're unnamed in the account in Matthew and in Mark and in Luke. Three Gospels form a harmony of this account. But here in Luke, we find the most details. We find restrictions on the mission. But in Matthew, we find that Jesus, He entered into a ship and came into His own country. He had left primarily Nazareth as His hometown, and relocated to allow His hometown to be Capernaum. And then He entered into a ship and came into His own country in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 1. And that is how this story is introduced in the book of Matthew. So we know concerning restrictions on the mission, much of what we were familiar with in Alaska and Canada, we found geographical restraints. They said if you don't fly there or float there, you don't get there. That's the way it is in many parts in the world. In Jesus' day, people took foot traffic or boat if they could traverse a distance in a shorter amount of time. But these distances must be traversed. That is why Jesus said, go. That's why the Great Commission, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, He said, you shall be witnesses unto Me. And He gave us this commission to go into all the world. And that is what we should do. The geographical restraints must be traversed. But there's so many more restrictions than that. And they can become overwhelming. We also have the logistical ones. Human limitations of energy and of time, of resources, of opportunity. We're only human and we're limited in what we can do. In this text, we find a closed door. We find four friends carrying their palsy friend, a crippled man, and they could not get him in the door because inside the room that Jesus was teaching, it was filled with people. In fact, it seems to be filled to overflowing with Pharisees and doctors of the law, which will come out of every town of Judea and Jerusalem, and also the region of Galilee. And so there's these logistical restrictions, and we seem to see a closed door. Every time you try to do something for God, anytime you feel a burden or a call that God has specifically placed on your life, and you know it's required as stewards that a man be found faithful, you will always be faced with a restriction as these four friends of the palsied man were. But you know, in spite of the geographical restrictions, in spite of the logistical ones, and then we also see social ones, cultural barriers, and difficulties. In spite of all of these, God wants us to be found faithful. What's the social cultural barrier that we find in the text? We find a room filled with aristocratic upper crust of society, and these men felt they could not go. They felt it was a closed door because they felt intimidated by the crowd that Jesus was surrounded by. These men had close alliances with the government of these days, to the point that when it came time to crucify Christ, they had their connections. These religious elite had their connections even with government. We find doctors of the law and Pharisees, and these friends, well, they of this palsy man, they wouldn't adventure to go through what seemed to be a closed door. But you know what? They didn't stop there. And we shouldn't stop at social, cultural restrictions either. But ask God to give us ways to get past our pride, ask past our presuppositions, past our prejudices, and realize that we must be faithful to do whatever God has commanded us, believing that He will get us through and past what appears to be a closed doors. What appears to be a closed door, rather. But we see a political restriction here in the text. And around the world, in creative access nations around the world, we find what appear to be closed doors. Yet, these men didn't see these closed doors in the way that we are tempted to look at doors when they appear to be shut. No, they instead looked to God to provide resources for the mission to get past the restriction. Somebody grabbed a rope, somebody grabbed a ladder or something. They got out on the rooftop, broke up some ceiling tiles, and instead of going through a door, God opened the rooftop. And we, when faced with mission impossible, should say, Lord, You called me. I trust You to supply the resources for the mission. You see, they improvised without compromise. And strategic evangelism always employs the available resources that God provides for the task at hand. We think of Moses with the rod of God, and God used him to open the Red Sea before the children of Israel. But the responsibility for the mission is faithfulness. We remember the four creatures in the book of Proverbs. The ant thought he was too fragile. The coney, he thought he was too feeble. The locust thought he was too freelance, not having a king. And the spider, he thought he was too feared. But you know, all of these creatures were faithful to use the wisdom that God had given them to get the job done. And that's what we must do. God does not call many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26. But you know, He calls you and me. And there are four corners to every mat. In Matthew and Mark and Luke, we find that this mat, this couch, this bed, that whereupon He lay, it was carried and laid before Jesus using a strategic, creative avenue which was not apparent before they took the first step. But each one of those men got a hold of their corner, and they were faithful to hold their corner. And I submit to you that if we would hold our corner just a little bit longer in this ministry of world of evangelization, we'd see another man find forgiveness, possibly. We'll see God reveal His strength and His glory. As in this text, we might see another child get a new daddy, or a wife get a new husband. We'll see all those around us impacted for eternity, as was the result in this text. This man, after being forgiven of his sins and healed, he gets up and carries his bed at the command of Jesus, and God is glorified. The results of the mission is redemption. The resistors of the mission, that is the devil. But the realization of the mission is God's glory. And as we conclude, and I turn it over to Pastor here, yes, there are difficulties for the restrictions, but God is big enough. We have God's store of resources at our disposal. Our responsibility is merely to be faithful, to hold our corner, to leave the results in God's hands. As for the resistors, God's big enough. And to our great Redeemer, let Him be glorified with our life. Will we just trust Him with the closed doors and see God do greater things than we can do? Will you come to Jesus for forgiveness and restoration? Will you be involved in bringing lost ones to Christ? As we close, will we finally face the task that God has called us to do? I invite you to quit looking at the closed doors and ask God to show you the opportunity. Pastor, I would like to turn it over to you. I regret I'm a minute late.